read a special verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is connected with that, with the Dhammadhara Leela. We'll read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 5, 142. ekamai Ishvara Krishna, Arasava Pratya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are His servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Vritya Pashyata, becoming subordinate to His Vritya, or servant. Now, although everyone is Vritya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to His Vritya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Vritya, a servant of Krishna, and He is Adikavi, the original creator of this universe. Tehi Brahma Vrinda Ya Adikavi. Nonetheless, even He could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, He is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavam Yatashambhu. What to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva? The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the Lord's constant companion in service, since she always associates with His body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives? By which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna. In this verse, there are three negative pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it. One should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on the fact. In this verse we find na lehire, na lehire, na lehire. Yet Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position, and thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word vimuktida is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as sairija, sairokya, sairupya, sarshti, and samipya. But vimukti means special mukti. When, after liberation, one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one is said to have achieved vimukti, special mukti. Therefore, the word na is mentioned. That exalted platform of prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema kumarato maha. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Madhani potency, His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Patibhavata Vi. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. Neva Pirincho Navamo Nashirapyanga Samshaya Prasada Levi Vei Yogi Yantat Vaha Vibhutita. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality and Guardian, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharya Dhera Vishesha Shundalaki Vasitya Vishnana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Sri Vasati Gauravani Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare clean up your heart and your flesh. So today is the first month, the first day of the month of Dhammapada. Charity, very special time, a very special occasion in our calendar. Of course, it is focused on this particular pastime, which the verse we are reading is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Dhammada Lila Yashoda Dhamma, when Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna to the grinding water. It's a very wonderful pastime and a very wonderful festival. And it's very interesting to note that we celebrate this for the whole month, every day, morning, evening. We are celebrating this Dhammada Lila, how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is, and how instructive it is. Other pastimes, even the appearance of Lord Krishna and so on like that, we celebrate for a day, maybe 2 days, but generally not for a whole month. But here we see, and for a whole month, everyone is focused every day on this amazing pastime. So this verse then is taken from this narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us just explain a little bit the background. What is this pastime? Of course, I think everyone is quite familiar with the Dhammada Lila, but still repetition of the good thing is good. And the deeper it can penetrate into our hearts, the better for us. So, first thing is that Srila Shukadeva Goswami is making a point in this verse that there are many great devotees. For example, Lord Brahma is the head of our Sampradaya. He's very, very devotee. Lord Shiva, Srila Prabhupada quotes the line here, Vaishnava Nitashambhu. He's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. And then, what to speak of then? Lakshmi Devi herself, who's constantly serving the lotus feet of the Lord and eternally fixed there. They're very great. Even those great devotees are especially great. And who are we compared to them? But still, even though they're very great, Manushoda is greater. Vimukti Mount. Well, Vimukti. She got special mercy, special liberation from Lord Krishna, special mercy, which even these three very great personalities never got. They never got. And as Srila Prabhupada has translated the verse, he says that none of them can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead such mercy as that which Mother Yashoda got. And not just that they did not, but they cannot. It is like an existential reality. They just cannot. She occupies very practically uniquely special position. Of course, on the other hand, as is described later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Srimati Radharani and her gopi girlfriends, cowgirl girls of Vrindavan, they're actually in an even higher position than Mother Yashoda. We might wonder why is it that Mother Yashoda is presented in this way here, as if nobody can get as much mercy as her when
we're aware that generally that Srimati Radharani and her girlfriends, they did get born. But our acharyas explained that in terms of the presentation of things in Srimad Bhagavatam, in terms of the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, to this point in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have not encountered anyone yet who got mercy. Like Madhya Shoda gets in this Dhanadaya Leela. Of course, later on, other devotees will be described Srimati Radharani and they got all mercy. But to this point, Madhya Shoda is unique, her position is unique. So, all offerings to Madhya Shoda without reservation. So, yes, Madhya Shoda is very great as a devotee. And Lord Krishna hears Vritya Vashyata. This is a very special characteristic of Lord Krishna. He is very dear, very kind to his devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami makes the point when he raises the question, why should we or anyone surrender to Krishna? Why? For what reason? And then he presents a number of possible reasons why we should surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna is great. We are small. Because Krishna is the master. And we are the eternal servants. These are all good reasons, and it's quite true. But it says that even though these are all good reasons, they're all quite correct. But still, a more important, most important reason. Shri Radha Rasmi Hari, Shri Sita Radha Shankaran, Shri Gauranga Hari. So, Jiva Goswami makes the point that even though these are excellent reasons, they're just excellent reasons, why we should surrender to Krishna and not have some other program in life. But he says that really the main reason is because Krishna is Vritya Vashyata, Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna is so merciful to his devotees. He is just so merciful. And this particular quality of Krishna is distinguished from the unlimited number of other qualities that Lord Krishna has. And in this pastime of Dhanadaya Leela, that quality of Krishna is so vividly displayed and in such a beautiful and such a touching way. How Lord Krishna interacts with Madhya Shoda throughout the course of the Dhanadaya Leela. Madhya Shoda was churning the yogurt into butter and simultaneously breastfeeding young Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point elsewhere that when a child is being breastfed by his or her mother, then for them that is the best position. There can be many, there are many other nice situations to play in and so on and so forth. But for a child, the best position, safest, most secure position is when they're being breastfed by their mother. So there was Lord Krishna being breastfed by Madhya Shoda while she churned the pot of yogurt into butter. And what happened? Well, I think we all know. She saw just nearby a pot of milk on the stove, which was being brought to the boil to be used in some food preparation for pleasure of Krishna. It was just about to boil over. And of course, milk is liquid religiosity. We should not waste one drop of milk. If we waste one drop, we will feel it. At some point, we will feel that. So, Manjushoda, she immediately became concerned. There's a smell, it's going to be burnt and spoiled. And said, oh, we cannot have that at all. She immediately dropped everything and just quickly moved to save that one milk and bring it off the stove and control the situation. So she dropped everything. The rod, the churning rod, which she was using, the churning, the yogurt into butter, she dropped also Krishna. Well, she did not exactly drop him, but she put him down quickly, very quickly, on the ground, just like that, from the safest position of all, just in this very intimate exchange with this most wonderful devotee, suddenly being on his back, on the floor, abandoned. Oh, it was a shock. It was a shock for Krishna. So Manjushoda was there dealing with the milk. She saved the milk for Krishna. But Lord Krishna, lying there on his back on the ground, all of a sudden, he became extremely transcendentally disturbed and started crying and crying and actually having a tantrum, a real tantrum. And he became so transcendentally disturbed that he decided to not just express it through crying and things of that sort, but to, you could say, teach Mother Yashoda a lesson. Don't you do that to me again. He went up to that big pot of yogurt, which was in the middle of being churned. In other words, partially transformed into butter, and took a rock and smashed it. Smashed a hole in it. And out came pouring many liters of half-formed butter and semi-buttermilk and semi-yogurt and everything. Perhaps it was 20 liters. It was a substantial amount. And it just all went pouring out on the floor. That was enough. That was not enough for Krishna. He still felt he wanted to express his transcendental frustration further. So somehow he climbed up to where, suspended from the ceiling, there were a number of pots of butter, actual butter, hanging there for security reasons. But Krishna, he got up there somehow and he engineered things and climbed up. And with that rock, he smashed holes in a number of those pots of butter, clay pots of butter. And they all came out, the contents just came out. So how many liters and kilos of butter and buttermilk? Perhaps there were 50 kilos, 50 liters just all over the floor. What a mess. A housewife's nightmare. So, Manjushoda was actually inside dealing with the room and so on. Lord Krishna, there's all this butter. And Lord Krishna, what did he do? He started eating it. So perhaps you could say, can't be that angry. Or there is so much love for the money Ashoka in that butter that is angry would even got overpowered, at least for the time being. This is in fact why Krishna is so fond of butter, because it is completely saturated with the love of the different gopis who make it, just thinking how they want Krishna to have it. So he started eating the butter. When he had, well, not really had the butter at some point, because he cannot have enough, because it was an exchange of love, it's not just a matter of eating. He started distributing it to the monkeys, because they're devotees. They also appreciate these things. Srila Jiva Goswami makes a very interesting point in the course of this part of their pastime, that some people, some devotees even, may say that Lord Krishna, in his various pastimes, he is simply acting. Here is Mother Yashoda. She is a nice devotee. She loves me very much. And somehow in her, whatever, confusion due to her love, she thinks that I am her son, even though I am actually God. So just to be nice to her, I'll act like I'm her son, even though I'm actually God. So things are working like this. In other words, Krishna is simply putting on a front, just sort of leading the devotees on in a benevolent type of way. But that he is not, these people think, that he does not actually enter into those positions. And like in this case, become actually disturbed with Mother Yashoda as a child interacting with his mother. Jiva Goswami makes the point that really Krishna is disturbed and he really does feel transcendentally angry. And it is not that he's just acting, playing it out. Because at this point, Mother Yashoda goes inside, Krishna becomes angry, the monkeys have not come yet. Then if Krishna is just acting, why would he act angry when there's no audience? There's no one for him to act for. Now, Krishna, in fact, there's a verse in the course of the narration. Krishna, at some point, found some isolated little place in the house and on his own just started eating butter with tears coming from his eyes, tears of transcendental anger. So here's my next point. But this is proof that when in these pastimes, Krishna actually enters the pastime and he completely is absorbed in seeing himself and feeling, I am the son of Mother Yashoda. She must not treat me like this. And then getting angry as children do. Otherwise, he would have just sat there and waited for him to come back if he was just acting. So anyway, the monkeys came, Krishna was feeling butter to the monkeys until they could eat no more. Mother Yashoda came back. There's Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys. The monkeys are all full. The monkeys are refusing. Krishna's offering, come on, come on. Monkeys are moving back. No. Bus. And here comes Mother Yashoda and sees this. Oh, just
terrible. And Krishna and the monkeys are wondering about the world. And she's shocked. And Krishna sees her. And in that mood of the exchange between the son and the mother, all different moods manifest from time to time. And Krishna sarcastically says to Mani Shoda, just see your butter is so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it. Because Mani Shoda, you know, it's all a long story and we have a lot of time, but because of Krishna's habit of stealing butter, Mani Shoda was in great anxiety. That, first of all, she was feeling inadequate as a mother, a sort of maternal inferiority complex. I'm not a good mother because I make butter, but it's not good enough for Krishna. He always has to go to other people's houses and steal butter because mine isn't good enough. So she felt very bad, inadequate as a mother. So what she did, she went all over Vrajanandala, found the best grass, chose the best cows from Nanda Maharaj's herd, and every day she'd go and cut by hand the best grass, keep the best cows at home, feed the best grass to them by hand herself, milk them herself, turn the milk into yogurt herself, churn the yogurt into butter herself, and give it to Krishna maybe 10 kilos a day. There, Krishna, take it all, just eat it to your heart's content, and go away. 5 minutes later, she'd be glad to see how Krishna was doing. He'd be gone, already in someone's house, eating butter. As we mentioned, the real reason is not just that Krishna has some sort of butter fetish or he's just particularly fond of eating butter. But all those, first of all the cows, all their love went into their milk. Because they were thinking, we want Krishna to have this. Then the ladies would take the milk the cows. And all their love would go in. So Krishna, he wanted to have that exchange of love. So he would steal butter, because they could not just give away their butter. Otherwise their husbands would get angry. We had to do all this work, herding the cows, to make a living. We're just giving away everything. What is this? So Lord Krishna, he spoke by this to Mother Shankara, and she felt, I have to do something. This is too much. It's beyond just joking back and forth. I have to discipline this boy. Otherwise he will grow up bad. He will grow up to become a criminal. Today he's stealing butter. Later he may steal, he may hijack buffalo guns or something. Join the Makan Mafia. So I have to do something for his sake. For his sake I have to correct him. Otherwise he'll grow up bad. He'll become a social misfit and some sort of delinquent, and he'll get arrested by the police and put in jail. And everyone will think, what sort of mother did he have? Couldn't bring him up properly. So she decided I had to discipline him. But of course, according to Vedic standard, children are not, violence is not used against children. Don't strike children. So, here it said to think creatively, how to effectively discipline their children
so they actually learn the lessons they should learn, but without frightening them and really disturbing them in those types of ways. So as we know, she decided, I must find him. Of course, first of all, she had to catch him. So there was a big chase scene, back, forth, around, up and down. And when he showed her, as described here, in these the verses, in this passage, as a mother, she was quite somewhat heavily built, not so agile to jump this way and that. So she's moving, trying to catch Krishna, and even making such an effort to catch him, she's perspiring. Her flowers in her hair are falling. Her sari is becoming a little sort of not so properly in position, because she's making this special physical effort to catch Krishna. But who can catch Krishna? Another one of the verses here makes that point that, well, of course, eventually she did, or she allowed him, he allowed her to mourn. Her love overpowered him. But one way or the other, she caught him. And one of the verse states that the materialists, they're begging God, please give me something. But it's not so easy to get something. If it was, people, so many people would be extremely rich. Many people are praying to God for material offerings, etc. It appears not so many people are getting these things. Or the yogis are trying to realize them as super soul, but they have to endeavor with great austerity, even for many lifetimes. It is not so easy. But Madhya Shoda, because that motherly mood of concern for Krishna's well-being just increased and just overflowed, Krishna became overpowered. And he agreed to be tough. So then, of course, she fetched Rome, and, oh, enough Rome. Before Krishna, that's okay. We will tell him when we show. It was too thick, it's too short. How could that be? Anyway, that's okay. We will get some more of Rome. So now, a few meters of Rome. Of course, it's a number. Plenty. It was too thin, it was too short. What is going on? But she did not really worry too much about what was going on. She just worried, I must get more of it. So more of it, and more of it, and more of it, and many meters of it. 10 meters or more. It was still too thin, it was too short. You know, if 5 meters of rope will not go around your waist, you have been eating too much beside. But 10, 20, 50 meters of rope, it was still 2 meters too short and always, I mean 2 fingers, and always 2 fingers. And never less or more, it's always 2 fingers too short. So again, that mood of motherly concern just overflowed from her heart. Krishna could not resist, and she was able to tie. And even then, if it had only been that much rope, a few centimeters, it would have been enough. Because actually, as the translation, as that song says, She was tied by the love. She was not really, he was not really tied by the rope as such. He was tied by the love of having shown her. So then, of course, Krishna tied up. He pulled the grinding water, knocked down those two Arjuna trees. Out came Narakudra, Manigriva. They were released from the curse. And the pastime he holds like that, it is really quite a major pastime. Narada Muni appears and meditates on some very important philosophical points in regards to correcting people to the proper standards of Krishna consciousness. So this is the Dhammadhamma in a very small nutshell, but such a wonderful pastime. So much we can learn, so much we need to learn, that Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. Krishna cannot be bought, bribed. They say everyone has their price, but not Krishna. Not in that sense. Not at all. Krishna, you cannot outsmart Krishna with some clever words, like some sort of verbal chess player, maneuver Krishna into a position where he can't say no. And you can't do things like that. So, and you cannot be so fast, so quick and dodgy. You just cannot. Doesn't matter who you are and what you're capable of. But only through love, following in the footsteps of the great devotees, selfless love, simply dedicating everything to the pleasure of Krishna. In this way, Krishna can be pleased, and ultimately, Krishna can even be controlled by his devotee. And of course, not that the devotee should think, I'm controlling Krishna. But the devotee sees it. I'm just doing whatever I can in my own little way, and the rest is just Krishna's mercy. What can I say? What can I do? So Krishna is so great, everyone else is his servant. Actually, even other forms of himself have the mood of being Krishna's servant. Even Balaram. Krishna, Shivajiya Swami makes the point, if you ask Krishna, who is God? Who is God? Krishna says, me. If you ask Balaram, who is God? Balaram says, Krishna. So Krishna is so good. That is so good. Ekamani Ishvarish. He ultimately is the only supreme controller. Our suburb virtue. Everyone else is his virtue. But out of all those servants, just see the position of Vandisha. She was able to bind Krishna with her love. We should learn from her example. Under the relationship of Ramana, it's so we can make progress in our Krishna consciousness. And we can meditate on this through this whole month of Ramana. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Yashoda Dada Ki Shri Dada Ki.